The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, artificial intelligences are common device in science fiction, but not only in science fiction. Since a few years, they're becoming quite common even in day-by-day life. Not of most people, but its usage is increasing in very different aspects of our daily life. So I would like to talk about how smart, how clever are artificial intelligences, in the sense how easy, or not easy, we will see, it is to deceive them, especially to make them take wrong decisions, which may be done by mistakes, but more importantly, on purpose. So it is interesting to understand and to study how it is possible to make artificial intelligences do wrong things. And even we will talk a little bit about another aspect of artificial intelligences, which has already been studied a lot in science fiction, which is the evil AI. So is it possible to build an evil AI, or is it possible that an AI will become evil by itself, as many science fiction writers already imagined? So let's see. But first of all, a few words about what actually is artificial intelligence. And it's a common knowledge among experts that artificial intelligence is like teenage sex. Why? Well, because everyone talks about it, but actually nobody really knows how to do it. And everyone thinks everyone else is doing it. So in the end, everyone claims they are doing it. Well, what do we mean when we say artificial intelligence? Let's ask Wikipedia what is artificial intelligence. And the page on Wikipedia says that artificial intelligence, sometimes called machine intelligence, is intelligence demonstrated by machines, which actually is not an explanation, because we don't know what intelligence is in the first place. But we can assume that if a certain behavior is made by a human, that could be an intelligent behavior, and if a machine adopts the same behavior in the same circumstances, we can talk about an intelligent machine, or machine that behaves like an intelligent human being would have behaved in the same conditions. That's the base for the famous Turing test, for instance. Not actually ascertaining what is intelligence, but checking if a machine can do something that, if performed by a human being, would be called intelligent. We talk about intelligent agents, but the focus is on mimicking human behavior. And that's Wikipedia. An important thing to make it clear as soon as possible is that artificial intelligence is not just machine learning. There are several sets of technologies and concepts and processes that and in the end make up on something that we can call artificial intelligence. There are physical layers, technologies that enable a certain type of processing. Then there are the methods or algorithms that can implement actions that can lead to decisions. So decision trees, regressions, things like that, which is not intelligence yet. Then we have, I beg your pardon, machine learning, which is the ability to learn. Until we stay here, our programs cannot learn. They do the same thing in the same conditions because the rules are preset by the programmers. When we are in this green circle, machine starts to learn. In which sense? The algorithms are fixed, but they use knowledge, data processed by machine to change the behavior of the machine. So if a machine sees a thing that happens a lot of time, it understands that is a sort of rule, and the next time will behave accordingly to its experience. And then we have the field of the real artificial intelligence, which is ability to sense, to reason, to engage and learn, which declines in several fields like natural language processing or voice recognition, robotics and motion, autonomous vehicles, for instance, and computer vision. I will concentrate a lot on computer vision in the next of my talk. Computer vision means ability for a machine to understand the environment and behave accordingly to what it sees, actually sees with the, let's say, eyes. But in perspective, where are we now and where can we think that artificial intelligence go within a few years? Well, this is, of course, a field explored since many years by science fiction writers or futurists. Actually, science fiction has not been very good in doing scientific predictions. Very few of them have become true. but some became true. And it's interesting to look at the prevision made in the past to understand where are we and where are we supposed to go. So Ray Kurzweil, a well-known futurist, entrepreneur and futurist, during the last decades made a lot of predictions that actually became true. For instance, in the 90s, he anticipated the Google glasses or things like that, so eyeglasses that can project images direct on the retina in order to interact with the human who carries them, who brings them. And virtual assistants, a computer to which a human being could talk and get assistance in different tasks. We all know, have now in our homes or cars, things like Siri, Alexa, and so on. Well, Kurzweil, in, let's say, 10 years ago, anticipated that by 2029, computers will routinely pass the Turing test. And then by 2045, the so-called singularity will occur. And machine will actually become more intelligent than people, will surpass people, and will become the smartest life form in the universe, which is interesting and a little bit scary also. Well, a common cliché in the science fiction was that of the evil AI, the malevolent AI. Usually, in the form of a creature or robot or something like that, created by a human, the crazy scientist or whatever, that a certain time rebels against its creator and destroy him or she or her. Isaac Asimov used to call that the Frankenstein syndrome. Asimov was a very, you know, optimistic writer. He believed in science and in technology. So he thought it was very stupid to think that something created by a man could become intelligent and rebel against its creator. Why? Because as all technological devices developed by man, it would have some safeguards put into it by design, by construction. He said, we build weapons and put safeguards on weapons in order for them not to shoot randomly or kill the guy who brings them. We build elevators and put within emergency brakes and things like that. So it appeared natural to him that whenever humanity would have built some form of artificial intelligence, they would have designed some safeguards in it in order to avoid random behavior, dangerous behavior by the creature. And he so developed the very famous three laws of robotics, which are actually the technological safeguards that creators of artificial intelligence put into their creations in order to avoid them to rebel against humanity. So it is quite improbable that real AIs nowadays would develop an evil sentiment against humanity. But that doesn't mean that we can avoid the idea of an evil or malevolent AI. There could be malevolent AIs, but probably they will be built on purpose, evil or malevolent. They could develop some malevolent behavior by because of engineering mistakes or shortcomings in the design or things like that. But probably they would become malevolent by design, on purpose. And of course, in the military field, there is a lot of research on use of AI for defense, of course, which is quite public, and a lot of research which is not public on offensive AIs, of the use of AIs in offensive behavior in war or things like that. We could think of those AIs are malevolent AIs because their purpose is to attack and destroy some target. Of course, it is difficult to distinguish an AI that is good from an AI that is evil. So the threat is very subtle. And it's necessary to study more the case of malevolent AIs, which is not the case. Most studies are on good use of AIs. Very few studies concentrate on the use of malevolent AIs. So it is important to study them. Exactly for the same reason that researchers study viruses, not to spread infections, but to fight infections. If you do not know your enemy, you would not be able to develop defenses against your enemy. And it's sort of strange that a lot of papers concentrate on safety of AIs, but not on the, so in how to make an AI safe, but not how to avoid that an AI could be deliberately developed as dangerous. Okay. So the first point is AIs are very often designed, let's say, in good faith, and their designers do not take into account the possibility that someone would have interest in modifying, in attacking them in a very subtle way, which is modifying their reasoning. So the security risks of AIs are not cybersecurity risks, cybersecurity attacks towards the machine or the software, but very, very subtle attacks in which the AI is brought to wrong consequences in their decision, which is what I will talk about in the next few minutes. That could be done in several ways. It's actually possible. We will see a few examples of that. First of all, one could submit specially crafted cases, files, data that put the AI into confusion, leading to a wrong decision, or can deliberately modify the environment in which the AI acts for the same purpose, to lead the AI into confusion and bring them to a wrong decision. Let's see a few interesting examples. Those are real cases, not fabricated, real experiments. This is the output of a classifier. Classifier is an AI that sees an image and tries to understand what is in the image. Using those algorithms that we mentioned before, decision trees and so on, based even on the experience, the AI comes to a decision among a few candidates and chooses the best candidate. In this case, you see, this is of course a picture of a banana, and the reasoning You remember the Terminator movie, no? When he has to take a decision, you see the menu with the different options. This is the same thing. The classifier comes out with four candidates: banana, slug, snail, and orange. Other objects are negligible in probability. But we see also that banana has the highest score, while slug, the second one, has a very small score, and the other two have essentially zero score. So the AI comes to the decision that that object is actually a banana. Okay, great. Then we take this patch. We fabricated this image, sort of abstract patch, and we place it on the same table where the banana sits. The result changes dramatically the behavior of our AI, because now the machine sees a toaster, not a banana. No human being would say this image represents a toaster. Very few of us will even recognize that that is actually a toaster, very blurred and distorted in shape and color. But it is strong enough to let the AI change its mind. And now we see that banana has a very low score, and the score of the toaster is very, very high. So with a minimal effort, doing something that is even innocent to a human being, because we actually don't mind of that patch over there, we don't even see it, but this is enough to bring confusion into the reasoning of the AI and change dramatically the outcome of its analysis of the environment. This is another very interesting experiment done a couple of years ago by several researchers. Those are the actual pictures of those researchers that did the study. They built these strange-looking goggles, you know, yellow with strange colored patches on that. But, of course, nothing that gives any suspicion on a human being. We just say it's weird, but okay, no problem. We can recognize perfectly the faces of those guys. But if we submit those faces to a face recognition engine, one that has hundreds of thousands of pictures in the database, and we say, hey, what's the name of the first guy? Do you match this picture with a face in your database? It's common usage of AIs for doing face recognition in order that you have a camera placed somewhere, and when someone passes in front of the camera, it actually pops out with the name of that guy because it recognizes in the database. Facebook does exactly the same thing when it tags you in the picture of someone else. It just goes looking in all the pictures with people in that, matches the faces, and says, ah, that guy on the photo is Corrado. So, common usage. Well, if you put those strange-looking goggles, the result can be weird. That's the faces that mistakenly the AI has brought up from the database saying, this is that guy, which of course is not. Unfortunately, okay. So, very apparently small and innocent pattern added to a face something that would have not deceived any human being, actually brings havoc to the face recognition engine, which is, well, interesting, silly, but also scary, because you can think of how many security-related systems are relying on strong face recognition, police and whatever, and just bringing a small and innocent-looking goggle on your face could let you go through, for instance, police checks unnoticed. Then, oops, sorry, I've done something wrong. Okay. Another study concentrated on fabricating confusing images, abstract patterns that actually have no meaning for a human being, that trigger image recognition software into a wrong decision. Actually, things that do not represent object that are mistakenly seen as real objects by the machine. For instance, if I present you that abstract pattern and ask you, what is that? Which object does it remind you? Anyone will give an answer. What is that according to you? You've seen the pardon?
Barbed wire.
No, okay, barbed wire, filo spinato. Good guess. Unfortunately, the machine said that this is an assault rifle. Yeah. And that? Those are actual image recognition software that are normally used in industries, plants, and whatever. Not the software is not an experimental one. It's a well-known and well... okay. The idea here was, how can we develop pattern that means nothing for a human, but have a strong meaning for this kind of software? Okay, I will say that. You. This is a stethoscope for the machine. What's that? It's a digital clock. And how about that? This is a soccer ball, according to the machine, of course. No human would say this is a soccer ball or whatever. That is a paddle. That is a vacuum cleaner. That is an accordion. And finally, that one is a screwdriver. Obvious, isn't it? Okay. So, it's quite easy to confuse image recognition, AI, even very sophisticated ones, by means of innocent-looking abstract patterns that would not raise any suspicion by a human point of view, but are very strongly convincing for an AI on what they represent. This is another very interesting case. The same classifier that we've seen before with the banana, when presented with this image, it says this is very probably a panda. Very probably means 57.7% confidence. So the score is almost 60%. I'm rather convinced, 60% convinced, this is a panda. But if we add this subtle random pattern on the background of the image. You can probably perceive small modifications, but if I hadn't told you, you wouldn't have noticed these patterns superimposed to the image. Well, this strange moiré pattern added to this image makes the AI change its perception. And now he is very convinced that this is a gibbon, not a panda, with almost 100% confidence. No human being would be tricked by that. We all recognize this is a panda, not a gibbon. But this small distortion, this poisoning of the image, completely confuses the image recognition engine. And these are other cases with the same pattern. You see, you may notice in the sky here or in the wood texture this pattern, this patched pattern, which is not strong enough to put confusion into a human, but is actually strong enough to completely confuse a machine. And those, you may say, are the results. Okay. So, artificial intelligence is not so much clever. It can be easily fooled. But it also can be attacked. Could be attacks. If you want to make some AI system fail, you can submit this kind of image and get the wrong results, of course. Make the AI to get the wrong results. But something more can be done to attack AIs. And those attacks are very subtle, and they're based exactly on the specific way the AI reason. And they are very dangerous. It's a threat because, as I said before, those kind of applications are used more and more in our daily life to make machine take decision, identify objects, identify people, diagnose illnesses, and so on. Oops, sorry. So, an AI attack is the purposeful manipulation of an AI system with the end goal of causing it to malfunction. As I said before, designers of the AI do make them robust against mistakes, errors, but do not make them protected from deliberate attack. There are two classes of attacks towards AI. One is the so-called input attack. We've seen cases before. We submit to the AI some data, something that alter the normal reasoning of the AI and cause it to give the wrong result. And it is always possible. It's an attack that doesn't affect the AI itself or the machine on which the AI runs. I'm not actually attacking the engine, the AI engine. I'm just deceiving it, confusing it by means of the input I submit to it. So it's quite easy to do that. And we've seen very interesting examples before. But there is a more subtle and dangerous attack that alters the way the AI reasons in a permanent way. This, of course, does not affect the AI itself. It just makes it to give the wrong answer. But I can even alter permanently the way in which an AI reasons. How? By submitting it constant fake data on which it builds its own experience, its own knowledge. As I said before, one key aspect of AIs is that they learn from experience. If they see a certain situation, a certain pattern, a certain case, several times they understand, they learn that this is the normal case and they know how to react to that. But if we feed wrong data, carefully fabricated data, we can alter permanently the decision rules of the AI. Is sort of, if you take a little child and you teach him that the Earth is at the center of the universe, he will grow up with being convinced that the Earth is at the center of the universe, and we will act in good faith according to its thing that he knows as a certain thing. So we are not altering the reasoning engine, but the data on which the reasoning work, in order to let the AI do wrong things forever. So, in the first case, we just make the AI err, make wrong decision on an opportunistic base. For instance, we can stick some kind of patch on a traffic sign, which gives the AI the false recognition of the sign. For instance, it understands that this could be a green light instead of a stop sign, and so an autonomous vehicle could accelerate and pass with the red light and possibly kill someone in the crash. This could be a consequence of those examples that we've seen before, as when we put a patch on a banana picture and the AI said it was a toaster. It's possible, and we will see a couple of examples in a few minutes. The second kind of attack is the so-called poisoning attack, because we are poisoning the knowledge, the database knowledge of the AI. It's much more subtle, and it consists in feeding wrong data, specially crafted data, to the learning engine, in order to put false convictions, false ideas in that database. And then, forever since now, the machine, doing correct reasoning, will arrive to the wrong consequences, which is, as I said, much more subtle and much more dangerous. Why anyone could possibly do things like that? Well, of course, there are a lot of reasons. The main are those. First, cause damage. The attacker just wants to cause damage somewhere. That could be just like kids crashing into windows or throwing stones at the cars from the bridges. It always happens. Could be a large-scale operation for terroristic purposes. Second, someone could have interest in hiding something, confusing image pattern recognition algorithms in order to smuggle something without the knowledge of the machine that controls some type of content. That could be a person who wants to enter a premise escaping the face recognition cameras and put just those goggles and slip through. Or I want to send sensitive information out of my company for espionage and avoiding the content filtering that checks what passes through emails and so on. Lot of application in real life. Oh, I just want to degrade the faith in the system. I want the people who runs the system to shut it down because it annoys me, because it makes me doesn't make me do things I want to do. So I can decide to convince people running the system that the system is not untrustable. They cannot trust the system because it makes a lot of errors. Errors are made on purpose. I bring the system to error, but the net result is that the people will actually think that the system is untrustable and will shut down it. There are some kind of very scaring potential applications. With the same techniques we've seen before with the panda and the gibbon, someone could bring an AI diagnosing system to do wrong diagnosis. And this is a real experiment. This is a nevus on the skin of a subject, which is diagnosed as benign by special medical software, actually in the commerce. But if we add this small pattern, it gets diagnosed as a cancer. And you can imagine the result of either false negative or false positive. Either will be very bad, of course, if someone on purpose could poison those system with this method. And that's what I've mentioned before. If you put those innocent looking sticks on a stop sign, the self-driving car, the autonomous vehicle, actually doesn't recognize it anymore as a stop sign, but sees it as a speed limit of 45 miles. So it doesn't stop, but instead accelerates. No human would be fooled by that. No human would even notice that there are those small patches on the sign. But for the machine, those are preeminent, the most important part of the image, and they get somehow the machine to recognize it as a wrong instruction. And of course, you can imagine what danger could be done by that. Okay, just a few minutes, but I'm on the end of my presentation. That's how it is possible. Those attacks are, as I said, especially crafted in order to target to exploit the way the AI work. So they are not based on errors, mistakes, like in common cyber security attacks that exploit vulnerabilities made by software errors. In this case, there is no implementation of software error. It's the inherent way, the intrinsic way, the reasoning is done, which is vulnerable to those kind of attacks. One problem is that building knowledge just on data makes the machine very susceptible to those kind of attacks. But also the black box nature of the machines is a problem. Most of the times, you cannot ask an AI system why he arrived to that conclusion. It is not able to explain the exact reasoning it followed, because the variables are so many and the changes in the knowledge database are so frequent that it gets to a certain result, but without knowing the real reasons. So it is usually impossible to ask a machine why you say this is a toaster instead of a banana. And the machine itself cannot explain that. And this is a problem, because you would not be sure if the result is correct or not. You cannot check or double check. You cannot audit the result of an AI. And this is by construction. So one field of research is to build AIs which are able to explain their reasoning, that could be made accountable for the result. Those are a few mitigation challenges that experts have developed. But most, of course, are just safeguards, and not dramatic change into the reasoning way. Just make the machine more secure against conventional attacks, check the data that is submitted to the machine is correct and not poisoned, keep secret the model, the details of the models, make it robust, and keep secret the data. It's not something strong. It's just a few security measures on the border of the system. But of course, we can always be sure that AIs will not take over the world, because they cannot click on "I am not a robot" box and ask human for advice on doing that. Thank you very much. And of course, if there are any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Yesterday at dinner, we had a conversation about a very interesting attack using false inputs. It appears that in some American towns where the police realizes it's going to be filmed by concerned citizens, they just open up a mobile phone and start playing any copyrighted tune, which is enough to make sure one of the most widely used AIs at the moment, that is copyright recognition filters, and make use of them to avoid people from posting that on YouTube and so on. So we already have that.
Yep. Absolutely. This is called flooding. You flood a machine with a lot of information not related to the case, and it cannot distinguish the relevant one from the non-relevant one. Yes, it already happened. Also in Hong Kong, it was done something like that. Yes. Any other question? Okay. Thank you again.
Avete ascoltato Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache della galassia, da un'idea di Paolo Bianchi e Omar Serafiti, con il contributo cibernetico del Cylon Prof Massimo De Santo. Potete seguirci ed interagire con noi sul nostro sito fantascientificast.it, su Facebook alla pagina Fantascientificast, su Twitter sul profilo @fantascicast, sul nostro canale Telegram t.me/fantascientificast, sulla nostra community Telegram t.me/fsccommunity. Se siete particolarmente timidi, potete utilizzare la vecchia, cara e affidabile posta elettronica scrivendoci all'indirizzo redazione@fantascientificast.it. Tutte le puntate sono disponibili sul nostro sito, su Apple iTunes, su Spotify e su Podbean all'indirizzo podcast.fantascientificast.it. Se volete, potete lasciarci una valutazione a 5 stelle su Apple iTunes ed offrirci una birra romulana o un gotto esplosivo pangalattico, sostenendoci tramite una donazione PayPal utilizzando l'apposito pulsante sul nostro sito. Fantascientificast è una produzione amatoriale. Non si intende infrangere alcun copyright, i cui diritti appartengono ai rispettivi detentori. L'autorizzazione SIAE 5612I5359. Nessun byte e nessun tribolo sono stati maltrattati durante la produzione di questo podcast. Alexa 4 e l'equipaggio di Fantascientificast vi augurano lunga vita e prosperità e vi danno appuntamento alla prossima puntata lungo la rotta di Kessel.
Settimo simbolo inserito nel computer. Blocco 1 pronto. Blocco 1 posizionato.
Potenza erogata 23%. Così.
Blocco 2 è pronto.
Attivato.
Blocco 2 posizionato.
Siamo al 35%.
Arme rosse, evacuare l'area intorno allo Stargate.
Liberate l'area, torniamo da voi, chiudo le porta.
Andiamo, sbrigate.
C'era quello sotto la grande pietra?
Sì. Mio padre lo trovò nel 1928. È fatto di un minerale che non si trova sulla Terra.
Blocco 5 posizionato.
85%.
Blocco 6 pronto. Blocco 6 posizionato.
Non eravamo mai riusciti ad andare oltre nella sequenza.
Blocco 7 pronto.
Pronto, attivato.
Blocco 7 posizionato.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.